He's alive.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He's alive.
Yes, He is. Mm.
See, if He's alive and then you've been born again, you don't have to go to hell. Did you know there was a bunch of people last night that got dog drunk and fell on the floor and people fell all over them? Nobody, while they were in that state, come up to them and said, "You know, you're acting awful silly." And then people come in church and wonder why people get so excited about getting to go to heaven. I've been born again. See, I know that you weren't here, all of you that's from home or back, you weren't here when it was said, if you really want to dive in and worship, you could come to the front and just stand here and thank Him for what He's done. And you've been born again, and He's arisen today. So since you weren't here, I'll make that announcement again. So why don't you come on down and worship Him with us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I magnify You, and I give You the glory. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to sing this song. You may not know it, but you can listen to it. David said, "You're the glory and the lifter of my head." He didn't write that when he was on a Caribbean cruise somewhere and just made $1 million and everything was going good. He had his sandals in his hand and he was crossing the Kidron Brook. He was fleeing for his life because his son was about to kill him. And the Bible says they wept because the king, the great king, now he's an older man now. You know, when silver gets in your hair, you're supposed to be in the more prosperous part of your life. You should have your grandkids around you and you should be physically blessed and you should have some money set back and looking for retirement. David had slayed his giants and he had had all these songs written about him. But now, at the end of his life, he's running for his life. It looked like the worst possible case scenario. When he got to the top of the mountain, he was fleeing for his life. And he began to write and pen this song. "You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Yes, hallelujah.
Though the enemies encamp around about me, I'll lay myself down, I'll arise, I'll awaken, and Lord, You'll sustain me in the midst of my battle." Hallelujah.
Thank You, Father God.
Sometimes this is what Satan does the best if you're born again. He'll remind you all the time of your failures and who you're not. Do you think he's going to come and tell you who you are? No. He's going to do his best to take every mistake, every little thing that you've ever done, or even big things that Jesus, He'll look past if you just say, "Lord, okay, forgive me." How hard is it? How hard is it? It's as hard as we make it. But as far as Jesus is concerned, He's the glory and the lifter of your head. Somebody said, "Well, I know what it is. It's when I say, okay, your head's down, so lift your head up." Oh, that's part of it. But that's the shallow end of it. What David was saying, look, I'm fleeing for my life. I don't look like I'm the king anymore. It looks like I've gone downhill. It looks like the total and structural integrity of everything I've ever built is behind me now. And I don't even know what I've lived life for. But it looks like my kingship, my headship is nothing. It looks like my life's a total waste. And then he said, "Wait a minute, but You're the glory and the lifter of my authority. All that I am is king. I am born again. I am a Christian. Devil, You don't have the right to destroy me. You're the glory and the lifter. I'm the king. I'll be the one that'll side with Jesus. And I don't care what You accuse me of. I can still walk up with my head lifted up."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Worship You.
Thank You, Lord.
Well, you don't know what I've done. I know what He's done.
Praise You.
You don't know what I did last night. I know what He did this morning. You just lift your hands and join in. He'll come to you like you've been serving Him every 5 minutes, every day. Hallelujah. Worship You, Jesus. magnify you. I worship you. I glorify you. See, he's the glory and the lifter of our head. Go ahead, man. This is a good song. You may not know the words of it. You'll hear the verses in it. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Waves of peace came through here. Hallelujah. Oh, say, look at this. I'll cut back and just relinquish any sermon time to the comforter when he comes through like that. Because I don't have any poems to read or Reader's Digest. You may be preoccupied like trying to figure out this and try to figure out that. Your mind's here and there. But you know, to the measure that he'll come and you'll have a good service is the measure that you'll pursue him. Because what he cannot do, this is what God cannot do. He cannot come and overtake you, set you down, and make you want to worship him and give him everything that's on the inside of you. So what you can't be doing is, you can't be talking to somebody next to you. And you can't be hiding Easter eggs. And you can't be working on tomorrow's problem or yesterday's problem. You've really, if you want his touch, what you've got to do is, because he's a gentleman, he'll sit there. You can go to the crazy house and him sitting over there crying on the fact that he'd love to intercede for you. But the fact of the matter is, you won't give him the time of day. But I'll tell you what, when you open up and say, okay, you're not important right now. I love you, but you're not important right now. I've come for one purpose. I'm going to set the fulcrum. You know what the fulcrum is? It's the pinnacle point. It's you putting your mind totally on him and letting everything wash itself out around you. Now, you can do that for 5 minutes. You could do it for 10. But when you do that and you begin to concentrate on him and say, well, wait a minute. He can't come and force himself on me. So he's not going to come and take my mind over. Devils do that. The Holy Spirit will just stand there and wait. So that's why it's so important that when you come into his presence, you say, look, if I say to this woman, I've been married to her nearly 30 years. If I say to her, I love you, she knows I do. If I'm standing over here in my mind, I love you. What? Yeah, I love you. A lot of times you'll come in, you'll be so preoccupied with business around you. You won't be doing this and doing that. And you'll say, I worship you. Did you know this? Some of you thought you weren't too smart, but you're pretty smart. Your brain can do two or three things at one time. Your brain can say, I love you, Jesus. And it can be working in the yard. Or it can be fixing problems. Or it can be work. Listen, what he wants is when you say, I love you, he wants all of your emotions, all of your adoration poured into it. That's when you're worshiping him out of spirit and truth. And when you say, with everything in no thought, and if a thought runs down the road, you run and get it and bring it back and say, I love you. Then he can step in to your atmosphere and he can change your whole world. Hallelujah. Most people just praise him and sing about him and talk about him and their mind someplace else. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ben. See one of my boys back there. Ben did two tours. He went in right after we took Iraq, or he was part of us taking Iraq. And we prayed for him. Are you re-enlisting? My God, we prayed you out of there two or three times, son. He went in as a Marine and took that place. Now he's enlisting again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, wish I could just give you all a great big hug. His love has set us free. Worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. Magnify you forever, Jesus. This is what he desires. He left a glorious church. Problem is, it's hardly a phantom of what it was left. But it is returning. It is returning. He left a church where the Holy Ghost birthed it. It wasn't supposed to be powerless. Do you know Paul wrote letters to explain why people, the miracles were happening in such a rapid pace. Cities were being taken. He had to write letters explaining why people didn't get healed, because everybody was expecting. And when the typical didn't happen, they were scratching their heads and saying, it's happening so much. The miracles. Now, somebody wants to write a paper on it if something, some miracle takes place. Well, we're returning to the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dumb speaking, the dead are being raised, and the most important one, people being born again by the millions. It said that the maimed under His ministry was made whole. Now, He said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. Now, the greater work was this, that what He could not do while He was standing in the flesh, He could not introduce you into salvation because He was the prototype. And until the firstborn had gone into the grave and sown his self and raised from the dead, you can't have the second until you have the first. So He's standing on planet Earth and He's saying, a bunch of you are going to be born again. The Holy Spirit's with you, but He's going to be in you. Because I'm going there and I'm going to raise on your behalf, and you're going to find your identification in my substitution. You don't have to die. But I do. But everybody else that'll identify with me, you can be born again. And then after that, He said, the works that I do, you'll do. Like what? Well, it just said the maimed being. Do you know what maimed is? I like it. Because we're going to see it in this revival. Well, I don't know so much about that. Miracles and all that kind of stuff. Well, listen, if you don't believe in miracles, what about the greatest miracle? Was that you were born again. You didn't see it take place. Then you may be in jeopardy today. You may be in jeopardy today whether or not you're even going to make it. But hey, let me tell you something for a fact. The blind see, the maimed made whole. What is maimed? Halt. Halt is when you've got a hitch in your giddy-up. That's halt. You can pray for somebody, and they get healed, and they can run, and you say, my God, my back's better. Those are miracles. My leg's better. The podiatrist told me a couple years ago, you're not going to be able to run anymore. Hey, listen, I didn't scoff at him. If you go to a doctor, and he tells you something that you don't like, don't stand there and act pious about it. You went there. I've heard Christians say, oh, I'm telling you, bless God, I want to tell you. Don't get in His face. You're the one that He didn't come to your house. You're in His office. You've asked Him to look over you. So I said, oh, I appreciate it. But I'll be able to run again. So my feet feel great. I had something come up on my ear, and I don't know what it was. I couldn't sleep because I couldn't turn over. It left. My back, my wife's back. Thank God we didn't have insurance. Because that had probably been, I was thinking, I don't have insurance, kept casting it off. But I said, well, I got 2 acres of land and it's in a prime place. And I don't own a house, but I can sell that and I know it'll take care of that back operation. You know what? Having sold the land for my wife, that's nothing. I'd do that 10 times over. But we just kept worshiping God and worshiping God. And that bulging disc and bone spur and all that stuff that was meshed together, those 4 vertebrae, those things don't change. I'm telling you, she's totally, for months now, been pain-free. Those are wonderful testimonies. But you can't see them. All you know is you can see the fruit of it. You know that one time Candy was stiff. Now she's jogging around the block. You see that and you say, oh, praise God. But you know what the maimed is? Maimed is what Gay was talking about Friday night, and she got beside herself and she said, oh, wait a minute. Maimed. The word says the maimed were made whole. All. And many times it said all that came before him. Now listen, if there would ever been, now you, if you don't believe it, go home and search it and then come back and show me. Show me one place where he prayed for anybody and they didn't get healed. The Bible says he healed all that ever came before him. Now, in a day and hour where they didn't have hospitals like we've got now, how many amputees do you think were sitting in those crowds? Sometimes hundreds. The Bible says the maimed, look it up in Webster, maimed is there's no arm left, there's no leg. And the Bible says that they were astonished. Why? I guess you would be astonished when there's no foot there. And then Jesus begins to speak to that thing and it grows out right in front of you. It's kind of like time-lapse photography. You know, when you see those flowers. See, everything that's there is already there. It can still be reproduced. It just needs something supernatural to speak to it. Can you imagine an arm or a leg that's not there growing out right in front of your eyes within just a few moments? And the Bible says the maimed were made whole. Now Jesus said this, you got to understand this. I'm going away, and because I go away, the works that I've been doing, you're supposed to do also. What does that mean to us? That means that He believes, God honestly believes, that there'll come a day and hour that if we don't stop, that we'll see the maimed made whole in our midst. Hallelujah to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you think that it'll... No. I know that it's going to take place. I know. Why? Because He's provided for it. He's provided for it. That's what He died for. Do you think that you can carry in all the people once they begin to find out that there is a place where they know that it's not a 50%. It's not. It's a sure shot thing that if they come, just like where Jesus was at, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, and the maimed will be whole. How many do you think that you could pack in here? How many of your relatives would flock to a place where they knew that kind of power existed? My God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Oh, why don't You just lift those hands? He was about ready to leave. His last supper. He's sharing. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you comfortless. But that's not what it says. Does say that. But it goes really much further than that. Your King James says, or whatever, it says, I'll not leave you comfortless. What Jesus says, I'll not leave you orphano. I'll not leave you orphans. Why? Because I'm going to turn you over to someone else. Now listen. The structural integrity of any entity, whether it's a team or a business or anything, it's always based on what they call typically the depth chart. Meaning this, how many qualified people do you have to back up each other on every position, whether it's a business or a football team or a military. The strength of it is based on how well you've schooled your disciples. How well. Now let's just take just a moment and make some kind of outside of God analysis of how well Jesus had done with His 12 most entrusted servants. Now let's just go past the cross, past the resurrection, that last month that He's spending with them. How well had Jesus done? So we're going to make some kind of analysis of how well Jesus had done. Okay. You step into the scene. What's the first thing you see? He's got 12 men He's spent 3.5 years with. So you, if you're thinking about this as some kind of up-and-coming entrepreneurship, some kind of business, do I want to invest in this? Okay, let's see. His bookkeeper has just committed suicide because he's been found out as an embezzler and a traitor to the corporation. The spokesman, the chief of staff, which is commonly known as the most outspoken of the 12, he just somehow forgets at three press conferences that he even knows Jesus anymore. The rest of them are scattered between people that don't believe he still exists and the rest of them going back to former employment without even leaving any kind of leave of absence or written notice. Now let's just think, how well had Jesus done? You'd never, ever get me to invest in something that looked that shabby. And besides for this, what he's telling them, look, under all this condition, under all this, I'm going away. And I'm not coming back. Physically, I'm not coming back. Now, Jesus said this. He said, I'm not coming back. Now, why would you ever think that that kind of deal would ever succeed? You try to start something and get a bunch of people. Try to start some kind of business and get a bunch of people and then all of a sudden find out that your bookkeeper's an embezzler, a traitor. Find out that the guy that you'd put most weight on that was going to be your chief of staff, now he doesn't even know you anymore and the rest of everybody's wanting to quit on you. You think that's going to work? Hardly so. And besides for that, Jesus had the audacity to say, I'm not even going to be here to see this thing through that I started. Well, what kind of chance would you give that? Looks like a defunct, dissolving kind of business. He'll never make it. The only thing is, Jesus had a backup. He was turning us over to one called the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm leaving. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not leaving you as orphans. What I'm leaving you as, I'm turning you over to the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He's going to be the continual educator and the reminder. And also, by the way, all of you that's fighting, you bunch of guys that's fighting and saying, who's the greatest and who's going to be in charge? He said, look, don't worry about it. When He gets here, He'll give you your job description. And not only that, He'll empower you to fulfill what I'm telling you I want done. Hallelujah. Whew. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what He's come for. He's come to day in and day out. Not that you just say one time, okay, Lord, You rose on Easter. Yeah, He did. But He is a living Lord. He'll get with you in the pickup. He'll get with you in the shower. He'll get with you when you just cuss somebody out. And you had to say, God, forgive me. Now let me go on and live out my Christian life. Because I need to be perfected. Have you done that lately? No, I haven't. But I'm telling you, this is not a Mickey Mouse plastic on the dashboard Jesus. This is a living Lord that has come in the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, look, this looks like a shabby bunch that I'm leaving. I'm only down to 8 or 10 now that's even following me. And the fact of the matter is, they don't even sure if they want to follow me. That's not a good time to leave. But He said, look, if you'll tarry, the Holy Spirit will come. And when He comes, He'll empower you. And you'll receive new natures. And you'll not only, this is what He said, you'll become like Me. Listen, what Satan tried to put out, when Jesus stretched His hands towards heaven, they stretched it. And He said, Eli, Eli, Lela Shabbatana, which is to say, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Somebody said, oh, poor Jesus. He was under duress. No, listen. He died physically, sure enough. He had to for you and I. But the fact of the matter is this. The fact of the matter is the secondary part of His death was really even more important than His physical heart stopping beating. He took the stripes for you, all right. But this is what He said by testimony. He said, look, you want a proof? There's only one proof I'm going to give you. As it was in the days of Jonah. He said this, so will it be. The same things He said, the same things that happened to Jonah will happen to the Son of Man, He said. Well, you don't have to go very far back into the Old Testament book to find out. See, I know what happened to Jonah. He was swallowed by a whale. Oh, far more than that. The Bible says that by his own testimony, that the sea billows, he went down into the depths of hell. David described Jesus' journey. He described it. He said, I was shut up. I was shut up from my own countrymen and my own fellows and abandoned. He said, the bulls of Bashan have encompassed me. And what he was talking about, if you read that passage of Scripture, he was talking about literally demons took his spirit. Listen, I love Jesus because He died for my sins. Sure enough. That's wonderful. I'm telling you, I'm not prefacing one thing by making light of it. He died physically. But what He did, Steven Spielberg could not do it justice. Mel Gibson that showed him all beat up, that tore my heart out. We went to see it together. Candy and I and Barbara were standing there just crying like babies. And we knew what we were going to see. But I'm telling you this. The fact of the matter is, what happened after was far more beneficial for you, because the Word says He became sin who knew no sin. He actually, according to Scripture, He became sin for you. When He died under the penalty of sin, and all of hell wrapped itself against Him. And when He said, my God, why have You forsaken me? He wasn't saying it under a person that's under depression. He was saying it as a sinner dying for you. Now the next place He shows up, scene switches. He's on the cross and you're saying, my God, where's the next place He winds up? Winds up in that place on your behalf as a sinner. Burning on your behalf. He said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, we've, Easter after Easter, taken you through all those Psalms and proven to you very methodically. And if you need scriptural, you say, I'm a scriptural person, see Kathy, because there's about 20 scriptures that I can give to you to prove that He went in there for you and He laid in that pit for you. But on the third day, He didn't just die physically. He died spiritually on your behalf. He had to take sin all the way to the measure of the grave, become a sinner for you. Listen, I love my family. God only knows. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit knows this. I'm not swearing. I'm just saying, like Paul said, He bears witness. I could easily give my life for my children, for my wife, for many members of my, I could give my life. If there's a speeding truck, are you going to shoot somebody? Shoot me first. That's not a real, honest to God problem. Where I got to calculate is this. I got to step back when I think about giving my eternity. You say, I could do that. I've seen the way you've been walking in love lately. You can't do that. I can do that kind of stuff. You're not even qualified to understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving your spirit for eternity. Jesus went to hell for you. And He burned and He suffered for you. And if the Father doesn't pull Him out of that prison, He's there. He's damned forever. As a sinner, can you imagine resting your eternity in the hands of somebody that's not even there with you except in spirit, and you're going there on the behalf? Now, I love Candy, but for me to say I'm going to go to hell for you, I got to think about that one a little bit. Oh, for 2 days? No, for eternity. But the Father, on the third day, said, Son, you've paid the maximum penalty. Why? The Bible says He became the first begotten of many brethren, meaning He had to be the first one. He had to be the prototype. You say, I've been born again. Guess who the first one was that got born again? It was Jesus Christ. He was laying there as a sinner, crying out, my God, in that torment, laying there. And then on that day, Jesus received the same thing that you and I receive. When we cry out and say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. On that day, all of hell couldn't stop the new nature from invading the crevices of a dark, forbidden place. And Jesus received that new nature. And the Word says He became the first begotten of many brethren. He steps out of the grave and says, I've been born again. How many of the rest of you want to be born again too? Hallelujah. Now listen, if He didn't die for you spiritually and become, well, I got a drunken father. He became that. I got an uncle that keeps putting his hands on little kids. He became that. When he sweated great drops of blood, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, you've not resisted sin unto blood yet, but he has. Why? Because for 3 hours in agony, in torment, he said, I don't want this cup. I don't want this cup. You mean I got to feel the emotions? Jesus is a man. Jesus is a man. The devil's a sissy. The devil's a sissy. But Jesus loves. He loves the other side. Why? Because He became the first begotten of all those. He stood there in that place. And after 3 hours, it took Him 3 hours. The first 2 hours He kept saying, God, can you find another way? Can you find another way? The third hour He comes to the place, okay, put it on me. And at that moment in time, every pedophile, every homosexual, every mama killer, every beast of beasts came on Him. That's when He began to break down and He said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. I'm in a dying process here. I don't want these things, but I love you enough. I'll go to it. And then He died under the penalty, went into hell for you. Listen, I like the part that He died on the cross, but what we cannot see is the days He spent in eternal darkness for you and me, and then come out of that thing and led all of us out of it. Hallelujah. Say, you go to Him and He says, the Bible says we have not, double negative, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings, that means emotions, of our infirmities. But was at all points tempted. When did He get, at all points did He get tempted? Well, he's a man. And we've established that over the weeks. He's got a physical body. He could have physically had a wife. When He was touched by the prostitutes, He had to keep His thoughts. His body was just like yours. His mind was physical, just like, he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Just simply what we said before. The Bible said He was made of a woman, meaning His DNA came out of the woman. He's not half God like like Hercules walking around. He's all man, but the Holy Spirit touches the egg of Mary and it begins to reproduce. So He has all the emotions that you and I have. But He's sitting there in the garden. And all this stuff is coming on Him. And you and I think we have the audacity to stand off from Him and not approach Him? Because the Word says we have a high priest that's touched with the feelings. You think you have the audacity to say, I can't go before Him. I need somebody to talk. I need a street person to talk to. Somebody that's been in this. I don't know if I can go to my pastor. Listen, Jesus became the prostitute. He became the whoremonger. He became whatever you need Him to be. He's already been there in all essence, done that because it's already passed through Him and He came out on the other side. So then when you come to Him, He doesn't say, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, no, I've been there. I've already experienced that emotion, but I came out on the other side of it. Come on and follow me. I'll sympathize with you and I'll say, okay, I've been there, done that, felt that, but come on, I won so you can win too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You think he's gonna get out of my, I'm God. I don't know a God like that. I know a merciful high priest. Religious people know that other God. They know G-A-W-D, God. I know Him as Daddy. Abba Father. He's my Daddy. I can go to Him. Are you glad? I've been born again. Jesus. Worship You, Jesus. Just lift those hands and thank Him. Now, if you haven't been born again, let me tell you how hard it is. See, you join the church, write me $1,000 check, and then we'll sign you up and run a credit reference on you, and you got to be kidding. I am. The Baptists aren't going to save you. The Pentecostals are not going to save you. The Methodists are not going to save you. The Catholics are not going to save you. You can't even go to another man and ask him to pray for you and then you be born again. You got to go there yourself. The Bible says if a man would believe in his heart and confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, he would be saved. Well, then what do I got to do after that? Just follow the dictates of the new nature. Just follow the dictates of the new nature. Get a Bible and just start following the dictates of the new nature. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. If you're here this morning and you haven't prayed that prayer or you hadn't, you kind of feel like you've drifted and you just feel like, oh man, you're probably still all right. But just to make sure, this is a good time. It's a good time to get in. Hallelujah. Why don't you just ask that blood to come on you right now? Say these words with me. Father, I thank You that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and has died physically, spiritually, on my behalf. Now, I can trust in Him. I ask Him to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me of all my sins. Cleanse me. And I call myself a child of God. A born again believer in Jesus Christ. I thank You, Father, that You are my Father, my Daddy, in Jesus' name. And was that hard? Has He provided a lot for us? Whew. To closing, why don't you just stand with me and just thank Him for His shed blood. We exalt You. Are you glad for what He's done for you? So just one more time. Just close your eyes and let's just pray. Father, we thank You for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made for our sins. That He rose. Lord, I thank You that He'll not come back and be beaten ever again. The next time He comes back, He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank You that He's reigning right now on my behalf. My sins are under Your blood. My finances, my health, my mental health, all that I have need of has already been provided for. And I stand and I thank You for it in Jesus' name. And I call this a blessed day. The families go forth today. Let the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow be upon them. Bless them in their coming in and their going out and all they put their hands to, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning.